Hey guys, how you guys doing? What are all your books?
Let's go in a circle. You start.
Okay, mine's The Night by Elie Wiesel.
I'm reading The Kite Runner.
I'm reading Lullabies for Little Criminals.
I'm reading Red Rising by Pierce Brown.
I'm reading The Illegal by Lawrence Hill.
You guys liking your book so far?
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's actually pretty interesting.
Pretty sad.
A lot of characters are introduced in my story, so it's very interesting.
Yeah, my book, it was kind of boring at first, but then something happened around like page 90, and it just sucked me in. It was so powerful.
Yeah, it just took a turn.
Yeah.
That's good. I have a question. How do you guys think the main character's family has impacted their lives?
So, in my story, the main character is Amir. He's from Afghanistan, and he comes from a rich family, so growing up, he was accustomed to having, like, whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But despite that, he feels that his father was ashamed of him, because he thinks that his father wished he was more like him, like successful
mm-hmm.
and everything. And then this would later, like, influence his, like, desire to gain his approval would later, like, influence his thoughts
mm-hmm.
and cause him to sacrifice the person closest to him.
Mm. My character is like complete opposite, because my main character is Kida, and he lives in a poor family, unlike Nick's character. But it's kind of like they have a family, but then two of his parents die, like two of mom and dad, they both die. And then his older sister leaves to Harvard to study. So he's basically all alone. And then he doesn't realize the importance of a family until they pass away. And I feel like it doesn't really show his desire or anything yet, but he wishes to be a successful runner, and he wants to run a marathon, because since he was young, he was told by his father that, oh, running is important, and this is how you should think while you're running, and blah, blah, blah. So he was really influenced by his father. So, and at the end, before his father passed away, he was trying to encourage Kida to go on a marathon and pursue his career as a runner. So making that decision to pursue that, I think, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. What's your main character's name again?
Kida.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Alicia, how do you feel?
It's kind of interesting because Jules, baby's father had her when he was 15. So he's quite young in the book. He's like 26, 27. So he acts more like their best friends, and he's her only parent because her mother died when she was very, very young. And he does drugs, and he likes to pretend that he doesn't. He refers to it as chocolate milk in the beginning of the book with his friends. But she knows it. She's aware of it. She just pretends that she doesn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's soon hospitalized because of it. And she's sent to a foster home, which kind of experiences like what it's like to be in a system like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then soon after she gets back with her father, he gets arrested again. But then he's sent to a rehabilitation center. And when she visits him, she sees he's really close to another patient, and she thinks the only way she's going to be able to get his attention or connect him anymore is if she turns to drugs herself. And she does mushrooms, the magic. She calls them magic mushrooms, and she decides that she doesn't like it, and she needs to be her own person.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so that's kind of one of the bigger things.
Would you say it's a stretch to call her father an actual father?
It is, because you can see, like, when he goes, she follows him down the street to where he's going to get his heroin from, and he's like, get lost, like, go away, like, treats her like almost like a little sister, kind of like just a brat that's annoying him, and it's kind of like there's no responsibility for him at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Alrighty.
Yeah, well, in Red Rising, Darrow, the main character, was a lot affected by death, just like Kida from Leah's book. Because when he was really young, his father was basically a martyr. So there's a lot of social issues in Red Rising. Like, there's different classes, and they're called the Colors.
Mm-hmm.
And Darrow and his family belong to the lowest one, which is the Reds. And essentially, the Reds, they're kind of like a partying people. Like, they sing and they dance, and that's kind of their thing, because they're like the ruffians,
mm-hmm.
I guess you could say. but there is one dance that is essentially one song and dance that's like outlawed, and you'll be executed if you do it. And since basically they weren't getting enough food for their kids, and they're really like they're in poverty and starving down there, so Darrow's father, in an act of rebellion with a bunch of other people, started dancing and singing that song.
Oh.
And he was basically hung for it.
Oh.
And so Darrow had to watch that at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it takes place on Mars, and one thing about hanging on Mars is because of the lack of gravity, you need to pull their feet to hang them.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so he basically had to watch his uncle, like, pull his father by the feet to hang him from the gallows.
Mm-hmm.
And then we first see him in this book when he is 16, I believe. And he's already married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's just a normal thing in the book. Like, people get married really young. Like, girls
yeah.
normally at 14 and guys normally at 16.
Mm-hmm.
But his wife, Io, waited for him until he could get married. And they love each other so much, and it's really cute. But then she's also a rebel, so they end up finding this passage, and long story short, Io sings the song in an act of rebellion while she's getting tortured and gets hanged, and he has to pull her by the feet to hang her.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So, already kind of one death earlier on and one death now really affected him. Like, the one when he was younger, he didn't really understand what his dad did, and he thought it was stupid that he was rebelling. But then Io kind of brought it to his mind, like, you gotta think about how we're being treated. And she's like, I'm not doing this because of some stupid dream. I'm doing this because someone needs to be brought to attention.
So
and so...
Is Darrow rebelling too now?
He ended up... So in where they are, because they're technically underground, because they're mining people,
mm-hmm.
They don't have the right to bury their dead. So when people are hanged, they just hang there. So, again, in kind of an act of rebellion, though not the same as Io, where she sung the illegal song, he cut her down and buried her.
Oh, alright.
So he got hung for that.
Mm.
So it's like a lot similar to like Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this, in comparison to the Hunger Games, is a lot more mature.
Mm.
Just in the way and the content that it's written. Because, like, I find in The Hunger Games, it's a lot less upfront
yeah.
about all the stuff that goes on and, like, the
yeah.
social differences and all, like, the bad
mm-hmm.
things that happen. Whereas this, like, it is evident that, like, people are completely biased.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff is just completely, like, just corrupt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All
One
right.
connection I could make with that is, you know how you were talking about there's an illegal song that you
yeah.
cannot sing? Kida's father is a journalist. And he was, in one of the chapters, he was tortured because he had some information, and he was tortured by a gang, and he was, like, yeah, he was brutally tortured, and then Kida tried to save him, and he was supposed to bring a wagon and all that, but that kind of reminded me of, that's the song they were talking about, reminded me of that, because, yeah, his father couldn't really do anything about it, like, he couldn't pursue his journalist career, I guess. Yeah.
All right. And in my book, The Night, Elie Wiesel grew up like an extremely religious family. And he said by day he studied the Talmud, and by night he would run to the synagogue to weep over the destruction of the temple. And the Talmud is pretty much a Hebrew Bible. So Elie, like, wanted to find his way with God in every way he could, and was looking for, like, a master to teach him the different books, like, such as the Kabbalah, which is another, like, Jewish text. And Elie's family was also, like, very well-respected in his community, and his parents and two older sisters ran a store. So that made him, like, respected by the other community members. And as his family, like, and the community, like all lots of information was passed through his dad, like on the movement of the Jewish people into ghettos. So Ellie also got that information. So that was good for him. And also, his dad was very unsentimental and believed that he should not study the Kabbalah, like, at this young of age and understand the Talmud, like, before he understood the Talmud fully. So he'd go to a sheet bill to study, like, with a very poor master named Moshe Beadle. So that, so he spent, like, lots of time there with him and Moshe Beadle. Yeah.
That reminds me of my story, the kite runner, Amir. He practices Shia Islam at school. And then, so his at school, the mullahs, they teach him about religion. But meanwhile, like, at home, his dad will tell him, like, he'll tell his father about it, and then his father would say, like, oh, like, don't listen to those buffoons, and then, so he feels, like, conflicted, like...
Does his dad, like, completely deny religion, or is he...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's also a character a lot like that in Red Rising. It's actually Darrow's uncle, Narrow, and he's like, don't do what your father did, like, what he did was stupid... Like, don't follow down that path, because when he's about to go and bury Eo in an act of rebellion, he's like, I'm not going to stop you, but I'm going to tell you this is a bad idea. You're throwing away your life just like Eo and your dad did.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's kind of like that older figure who disagrees with what they're doing.
Yeah, same as in my book. And I think we covered that question pretty well. But
yeah.
Another question surrounding the main character is, how would you identify with the main character? Nikki, you want to start?
So I think that Amir and I are like, when it comes to like having to prove ourselves to the world, or like having to gain someone's approval, like we're the same when like we, there's things that we would make like irrational decisions like to do that. And also in the story, he grows up with his father's servant's son. So basically, like, okay, so the father's servant's son is basically also Amir's servant as well. But, like, since they grew up together, they're basically, like, friends and even brothers. But this is kind of, like, going into, like, the next question to, like, how do you define their identity? But his father, because his father was ashamed of Amir a lot, he felt that he would, like, treat the servant's son, Hassan, as more of a son than Amir is.
Yeah, I think with, like, Baby, she was, like, being put into situations at such a young age, and it, like, forces you to make a decision that's beyond your age and maturity, and, like, I've been put in situations like that when I was younger, and it's really hard to comprehend those decisions you're even making at that age. And it's surprising when you're reading, like, I felt like she was 16, just reading the way that she was so aware of everything, and, like, how she wasn't okay with some things, being very opinionated. And she was, like, she's very close with her own father, and, like, I connected with that because my dad, I'm really close with him, but, like, he's a good role model, though, so there's a difference there. But.
Mm-hmm. One thing, I relate to is that you said your character is very aware, and that's the same for my character, because he's very observant and he likes to watch from a third person point of view. So he likes to watch his dad type, writing his journal. He likes to watch his mom. He likes to, like, he looks at his older sister as a role model. Like, he likes to observe and he likes to be aware of certain things. So yeah, that's one thing I learned. You could add on to what you want to say. I just wanted to say that.
No, like, that was pretty much it, but yeah, it was just kind of surprising to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very beyond her years.
Yeah.
And you feel the same about that?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely times when you're, including when you're 13, 14, that you feel like you're not 13 or 14.
Yeah.
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 What about you, Leah?
Going back to observing things, like, I like to observe as well. Instead of talking, I like to listen, and instead of doing something, I like to watch people do it. So something like that, I think, me and Kida is like pretty similar to this. And one of the connections that I made was not with Kida, but Kida's father and my dad, is that they both support a lot. They're very supportive because Kida's father, he supported Kida with pursuing a career as a runner. And for my dad, he also supports me in every way. Like for university, for example, he likes to support me 100%. So in that way, like, I made a connection with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From my book, obviously, Ely was very fascinated by his religion. And I feel the same as my family was Catholic. And when I was a kid, I wanted to, like, explore all about it and, like, find, like, my way with God and stuff. And also, Ely was very optimistic, like, even when they got the threats of the German soldiers coming in and then moving into ghettos. In the same way, like, I am pretty optimistic and believe that, like, anything can happen and, like, they always gotta fight and anything is possible for them. Mm-hmm. How about you, Amy?
It wasn't necessarily relating to one character, as it was a relationship between characters, because the relationship between Darrow and Io is a lot similar to the relationship between my friend and I. We're not married like they are, of course, but Io and Darrow actually grew up together because they were neighbors, or they were really close to where they were living, and she's just doting and really keeps him grounded because he's pretty reckless and does stupid things without thinking, and even when he does think them through, they're still stupid decisions and he still makes them, which I do a lot. I'm a pretty reckless person when it comes to a lot of different things, and I have a friend who's very similar to Io and kind of like grounds me in a way, and like even if I do go through with the stupid plan, she's still there afterward to comfort me, because he ends up burning his hand from a stupid decision, and the first thing that Io does, she doesn't scold him. She doesn't say, like, what have you done? Like, you're hurting yourself again. The first thing she does is she just takes care of his wound.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that speaks a lot to the relationship between them, and I relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like, we can talk about the main character's identity, like, so far from the book,
mm-hmm.
and that's close to, like, how you identify with them. So, like, in my book, Ellie felt he had a purpose to connect with God, and, like, he was more of an innocent child and a student of God. So far, that's, like, how his identity
mm-hmm.
has been perceived by me. And he wanted to enter an eternity where question and answer with God would be one. So, like, you can see he's very religious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In my book, Amir, like, the first 100 pages was basically all about, like, him, like, longing for his father's approval, and, like, whenever he did something with his father, like, one-on-one, he would cherish that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whenever they did something, most of the time, like, he would bring Hassan along as well, like, his servant,
mm-hmm.
and he would just feel, like, why can't he just bring me? And, like, another reason why he thinks the father is ashamed of him is because his mother died giving birth to him. So, like, yeah, so he said something to him about, like, the worst crime is, the father told Amir that the worst crime you can do is stealing, and that includes, like, stealing someone's life. So, and he stole his father's wife, like, away from him, like, by
that's,
doing
that. Yeah, that's really unfortunate.
Yeah. That's harsh.
For Baby, I feel like she's a little girl who's grown up in a world that, like, has no limits as to what is appropriate for her age. Even if her father thinks he's shielding her, he's not, and, like, she's very conflicted on whether to be a part of it or to just distance herself from it. Because when she was in the foster home, she started to give up hope on the fact that her dad was ever coming to get her.
Mm-hmm.
And because she was being protected by social workers, so he had to get a job. But he kept lying to the social workers saying, oh, I have a job. Mm-hmm.
So who do I trust? Where do I go, sort of thing?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, at the point I am in Red Rising, pretty much up until this point, Darrow has been really, like, kind of, I guess, ignoring what's going on. Because Io, again, kind of has this rebellious mind, and she's very wise and aware to the situation that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so Io's always like, we're slaves. Like, they're taking advantage of us. Like, this isn't fair. Because basically what's happening is we're supposed to be colonizing Mars for humans from Earth to come.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the higher levels, like, they already live on the surface of Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that out. Like, they saw, they have a garden that they found. And Io's like, this is our Earth. This is what we made. Like, we made this for them. Why can't we use it? Why are we stuck underground? Whereas Darrow's like, we're not slaves. Like, I work for what we get. I'm a hard worker. And, like, I'm free. I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, what happened, he's starting to shift that sort of point of view and that whole thing that he isn't a slave, and he's starting to realize what's happening after Io was killed, because she sacrificed herself and became a martyr, essentially. And then he pulled a rebellious act by actually burying her in that garden that they found.
Okay.
So then that happened, and he was supposedly, he was actually hanged for that, but you see him, like, pass out, and you assume he's dead, and then he wakes up underground. And it turns out some of the rebels, they're called, like, the Sons of Ares. They're like, we have a job for you.
Interesting.
Yeah, so he started to kind of realize, like, the depths of what's going on. And, like, the people who he saw as bad, which were the Sons of Ares, he started to kind of realize they're not the ones in the wrong.
Yeah.
They're standing up for people. Just because the way that they're portrayed to all of the civilians is, like, absolute chaos and evil.
Yeah. For my book, Kira is, like, he's gone through a lot. Actually, he saw someone be killed in front of a church. Like, he saw people getting beat up, and, like, his mom passed away, and his father passed away after that. Like, after his mom passed away, he was a lot tighter with his family, because they were like, we need to stay together, we need to do everything together.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so, he had opportunities where he could have pursued a career as a runner earlier, but he was kind of rejecting them, saying no, because he wanted to stay with his dad, because he wanted to take care of him, because he's injured and his passport was taken away by a group of people, so he cannot leave.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to stay with his father, but after, once his father passed away, now he's like, okay, now what do I do? Like, my sister's going to Harvard now, and it's like, she's been there for several years now, and it's like, what am I gonna do with my own life? I've been with my dad, I've been just doing my own stuff, but I don't have anything set, right? So I think at the end, when he makes the decision to pursue his career as a runner, then I think he's like, okay, I'm gonna go for this. I'm gonna try to find my identity, kind of like that. So,
yeah. At the start, like, of our lit circle unit, you guys remember we had to research on all the authors' life experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have any like of those experiences showed to like influence the main character?
Oh yeah, totally.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know, for Pierce Brown, he had basically his best friend pass away in high school in his senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very sudden, and I think it was a hit and run, though don't quote me on that. But I think you could definitely compare that to, like, the death of his father and the death of Io. Just, like, losing someone important in a split second without fully, like, having time to, like, realize the consequences. I think, like, the way he portrays how she deals with death is, like, you can really tell it's from, like, a first-person experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Leah, what about your character?
Lawrence Hill, the author, wanted to become an Olympic runner.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that explains a lot. Like, Kira wants to pursue as a runner. So, yeah, it makes sense. And also, which is interesting, is that his mother, I believe, was white, and his father was black. Yeah, I think that's it. So, his, like, Kira's mom was a minority, and his father was an immigrant, which is interesting because his father, like, Lawrence Hill's father is also, like, she's also an immigrant, and she's from an immigrant family, and they're both, like, her father is a minority, essentially, so I think that was pretty cool, like, finding the minority.
Small similarities.
Yeah, yeah. Small similarities. It was interesting.
And so the author of The Kite Runner and Amir from Story both grew up in Canada, and they both had a good childhood there until they had to move to America because of the invasion, Soviet invasion. And also both of them, so obviously like author of The Kite Runner is an author, and also Amir writes stories.
Oh.
And this also has another thing, like,
that's
whatever he wrote a story, like, he wanted, like, Hassan would say, oh, it's, like, the best story. Like, he didn't know he was so good at writing until he, like, showed, he was, like, reading, because Hassan's as a story, he doesn't know how to read, so he would just, like, read, Amir would read to Hassan, and then he would, like, one time he made up his own, because, like, Hassan wouldn't know if he's, like, making it up, but he made up, and then Hassan is like, oh, that's like the best story you've ever told me, and then he realized he could write. But even though, like, that is going off topic now, but like back to that identity thing, like, he would tell his father that, and his father would be like, oh, cool. But then, like, his father's friend would read it and, like, even wrote him back, like, a note saying it's like, you're gonna be a great writer, like, bravo. And then, yeah. Something else.
Okay, so for Heather O'Neill, she relates to Baby because, like, the easy connection is they're both from Montreal. They both lived there. They experienced it. And they both were, like, left with their father. Like, Heather's mom, like, totally just left her with the dad. And then Baby's mom died rather abruptly, apparently. And so another thing was the fact that, like, in an interview, like, Heather said, she thought life was simpler and less complicated as a kid. And, like, you can even see some of the ways that, like, Baby Chaw, like, pops in her head. Like, you can just see she's still a kid. You can still see it shining through that she imagines things to be things that they're not. Like, her dad can't afford to buy all these nice things. Like, she wanted a pair of nice white boots, but he bought her figure skates, so she took off the blades and decided to wear them as actual boots. But because they're too heavy, she couldn't do it. But it was easier for her to do that. And it was easy for something to look so broken but still be able to just see the good.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Heather O'Neill's dad also addicted to heroin?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was an addict too, so that's probably speaking from experience in some way or another.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and my book is pretty much from Eli's experience because he was in the Holocaust, so it's like not really that relevant of a question for my book. But overall, I think that we can summarize that all of our books, the main characters have faced, like, a lot of hardships, like, even so far in the book. And they've had to question their identity, even in the book already. Anything you guys feel was important we talked about today?
I just feel like all of their identities and, like, perspectives are shifting. And it's kind of like a turning point in all of our novels, which is cool that it all lined up.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, thank you guys for having this conversation.
Nice closing.